Good morning. It's good to be able to come together to worship this morning, and I appreciate the presence of everyone, and we have visiting with us. And so these are factual things. It gives meaning to the gospel that we preach and that we stand in. You know what? I'm out of a job if there is no resurrection. There's no more gospel preaching. There's no more gospel preachers. You don't need to be here to be listening to the gospel. There is no gospel. It's all a lie. It's all a fabrication. And so it gives meaning to the very thing that we preach and stand for and practice and live in. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. We live in this. We stand in this. The gospel is our life. It guides us. It leads us. And so it stands or falls on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning, however, is titled, You Can Live Again. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's about living again in the resurrection day. What else does this resurrection do? Well, it gives meaning to the gospel, but this is a gospel of hope. We have the hope of life after death, and notice that it's based upon the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, begat us again, look at it, unto a living hope by the resurrection. We have the hope of living again. I appreciate the song that we sang earlier. I'll live on. You know what that is? That's I'll live on after the resurrection with Christ in heaven. I'll live on. Now we're going to get to that later. Somebody's thinking, well, isn't everybody going to be raised in the judgment day? So what's the big deal? Everybody's going to be raised. No, there's only going to be some who are raised to live on, a resurrection of life. You can live again. Now, everybody's going to be raised, but only certain ones are going to live again. It's eternal life. It's the resurrection of life. And so look at this gospel in verse 3, a living hope by the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. Unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It is a gospel of hope. There is one hope, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. I think of Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, where Paul talks about those who are outside the body of Christ. It says they were without God and no hope in the world. Think about a life without hope, a life of despair, a life without good news. That's the people out in the world. And they're having a good time today, but they have no hope of ever living again after death. Only Christians have that. And so the resurrection of Jesus gives meaning. We, the Scripture says, are begat again unto a living hope by the resurrection. What a beautiful thought. Well, what about those who are raised again that don't have that life? What's going to happen to them? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But you can live again if we will believe and accept and obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus gives meaning to Jesus Himself. Why did He come and live? Why did He come and die on the cross? If we reject the resurrection of Jesus, then we ruin the whole purpose of Jesus' life. Come back with me now to the scripture reading that we had in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, first of all, that the resurrection gives meaning to the gospel that we preach. Number two, it gives meaning to the whole purpose of why Jesus came to the earth. Why was He born in Bethlehem? Why was He laid in a manger? Why did He grow up and about the age of 30 began to preach for some 3 years and then die on the cross? Why all of that? Well, look at verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then is our preaching vain. That's the preaching of the gospel. Your faith also is vain. That's faith and belief in that gospel and in Christ. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we witnessed of God. You see, it's based on eyewitness testimony. It's not a fake and a fraud and a fabrication. It's based upon the truth of eyewitness testimony. Because we witnessed of God that He hath raised up Christ, whom He hath not raised up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither hath Christ been raised. It gives importance to Christ Himself. When Jesus came to the earth, He claimed to be the Son of God. And he worked miracles to demonstrate that he was the Son of God. And those miracles were written down, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that we can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you know that his life and his claims and his death, all of that go together? And if we reject the resurrection of Jesus, then he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't who he claimed to be. He was just a liar. And not only that, but he was a lunatic. He's crazy for making that claim that wasn't true and then dying for it. He's just a crazy man, you see. It all hinges on the resurrection. The resurrection gives important meaning to the life and the death and the resurrection, and not only that, but the ascension and the coming again of Jesus. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Do you remember the song that we just sang? One day he died. And then we sang another verse. One day he was buried. And then we sang another verse. One day he rose and was raised from the grave. And then we sang one more verse. One day he's coming again. It gives meaning to the total being of Christ. If the resurrection is not true, then none of these things are true. And you don't have to worry about Jesus coming again. You don't have to worry about standing in the judgment and standing before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no judgment seat of Christ. There is no second coming of Christ. There is no accountability. But if it's true, then all that he said is true. And so it gives meaning to all of those things. And he is coming again. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus left this earth, the angel said to those looking at his ascension, "You men of Galilee, why stand you looking into heaven?" Acts 1:11. "This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven." Well, what's he doing now? You ever thought about that? It gives meaning to what is going on now. We don't have a dead leader. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. As you're turning over to Revelation chapter 1, let me ask you, where's Muhammad? Where's Muhammad? Where's Buddha? Where is he? You ever thought about that? Where's Confucius? Where's Joseph Smith? Where's Mary Baker Eddy? Where are they? They're not living. And our Muslim friends are serving someone who led them, but they're a dead leader. Muhammad's not around. Who do we have? We have a living, sovereign Lord. Look at Revelation chapter 1 when Jesus appears to John on the Isle of Patmos. And notice how this vision would comfort and console and strengthen New Testament Christians who were being persecuted under the Roman Empire. They need an image. You stop and think about that. Here I am a Christian. I'm being persecuted in the Roman Empire, and I've got a dead leader. Why would I want to keep being persecuted? I'm just serving a dead leader. He's over in a tomb somewhere in Jerusalem. What they need from the very beginning is an image of a living, sovereign Lord. You keep serving me. I'm not dead. I am living. And I am reigning and ruling. And that's a beautiful image at the very beginning of this book of Revelation. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet." You would, because of this great image. "And he laid his right hand upon me." What does that do? That's the comfort, the consolation. "He laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Fear not.'" Well, Christians are going through difficult things, terrible things. Chapter 1 and verse 9, John was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord, being persecuted. "Fear not, I am the first and the last." Now get this, "the living one." Where's Muhammad? "I'm the living one. I was dead for 3 days in the tomb. And behold, I am alive forevermore." He is a living, sovereign Lord. And that should comfort and console us today. We live in a very upside-down world. We live in a very upside-down world where many terrible kinds of things are going on. We need this same kind of comfort and consolation that we serve a living, sovereign Lord. And then notice what he says in verse 18. I have the keys of death and of Hades. Do you know what that means? Psalm 16, Acts 2. I will not leave my soul to Hades. Hades didn't keep Jesus in. He came out of that grave. And I have the keys, and keys are symbols of authority. I am the one in authority. I am in control. I'm in the driver's seat. And Christians need that. And we need that today. We need to be reminded of that today. We live in a nation that is slowly traveling down the slippery slope of sin. And from the top down, things are very corrupt. And Christians around the world live in those types of things. We need to remember who we're serving and whose service we are in. And death did not have power over Jesus. So turn with me now to Revelation chapter 5. You ever thought about the vision in chapter 5 where John said, I saw a lamb. But look at what he says and read it carefully. He's in the midst of the living elders and he's around the throne. Revelation 5 verse 6. I saw in the midst of the throne a lamb. Now look at this. Standing as though it had been slain. It had been slain. Jesus was crucified on the cross. But he's standing at the right hand of God. He's living and reigning and ruling forevermore. This is not some weak leader. This is not some purely human leader like Muhammad that is dead in a tomb somewhere and just dust somewhere. This is a living, sovereign Lord. And yes, he was a lamb, the Lamb of God, that was slain for the sins of the world, but he's standing. And so he is a living, sovereign Lord. And what a beautiful picture that is. And so we need to understand that the world today is ruled by Jesus. And that Jesus would eventually rule that Roman Empire and judge them in chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And so what a beautiful picture that he came out of that tomb and he's serving and reigning at the right hand of God as a living sovereign Lord. I am the living one. What a beautiful picture in chapter 1. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, never to die again. So it gives meaning to the whole person of Jesus and whom he is even to this day. And he rules over us and reigns over us. And then last of all, the resurrection of Jesus gives meaning to your own life and death. Let me ask you this. Why are you living? What are you hoping to accomplish in your life? Why do we get up from day to day and try to serve Christ? What meaning, what possible meaning is there to come to church services on a regular basis? To try to act right when you go to work and when you go to school? What's the possible meaning to that? Is it just sort of a rat race that we go through? And like the atheistic evolutionist who says, when you're done, that's it. Just poof, you know. Well, that was fun. Or is there anything beyond that? Is there any meaning to that? Is there any purpose to that? Or are we just on some life of travel and when it's over with? No, there is meaning. And you know what? Christians who truly understand this, you can tell they live differently than the rest of the world. The rest of the world who does not have that, they're living their lives as if there is no life beyond. And it's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's no meaning after that. But the resurrection gives us meaning. Well, let's see how that is. Come back with me now to the scripture reading. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says one other thing. First of all, he says the resurrection gives meaning to the gospel. Secondly, it gives meaning to Jesus Christ himself. And third, it gives meaning to our own purpose. Why are we even living? Look at it. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, if Christ hath not been raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also that are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Now look at verse 19. If we have only hope in Christ in this life, we are of all men most pitiable. What a sad, pitiful, miserable life you're living. If there is no life after death, you're wasting your time. Now, in contrast to that, look at chapter 15 and verse 32. There were some that had gotten a hold of these Christians at Corinth, and they were saying, there is no life after death, so you might as well, if the dead are not raised, verse 32, let us eat, drink, and for tomorrow we die. Live it up and have a good time. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And you know, friends, that it's all about live it up and have a good time. Immorality, sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol, whatever, gambling, just wasting, having a good time. Why? There's no life after death, verse 32. Some had gotten them to thinking about that. And so, verse 33, be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Particularly, they were being corrupted in this idea that you're not going to live anymore, so just live it up and have a good time. The high life, you see. But look at verse 19. If we've hoped in Christ in this life, and there is no resurrection, and He wasn't raised, and you're not going to be raised, we are of all men most pitiable. Why? You ever stop to think about that? Why? Why are you living this pathetic life? Because you're coming here three times a week. You're trying to live right. You're being persecuted for it. All for nothing, because when we die, we're not going to be raised. How pathetic is that? How miserable is that? Get rid of all of that, and at least get rid of the persecution and the misery that you're having to serve as a Christian, and live it up and have a good time. So it gives meaning to our own life. That's our whole purpose, to serve Christ and to live right. But if there's no resurrection, we're living a miserable life, a pitiful life. We might as well go out and have fun. You see, that's what Paul's saying. We are to be pitied as misguided fools if there is no resurrection. Do you know what some of these philosophers were saying? In verse 32 and in verse 33, some of the philosophers at Corinth were saying, you Christians are misguided fools. There is no resurrection. And they had gotten some of them to believe it. Look at verse 12. How say some among you that there is no resurrection? Some of these Christians were believing it. The philosophy said, you are a bunch of fools for believing this. You're to be pitied. And Paul said, no, sir. There is a resurrection. And it does give meaning to our whole life. That's why we keep living right and dressing right and talking right, because there is a life after death. No, we're not pitiful and pitiable. You are out in the world because you have no hope of a resurrected life. You see, the tables are turned. Paul said, no, we're not the ones. And why is that? Well, let's look now at the last part of chapter 15. Because Christ came out of the grave, we look forward to doing the same. And everything that we have stood for and stand for in life will be ultimately rewarded. Come with me now to verse 54. Verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. But when this corruptible, that is the earthly body that we have with us this morning, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That is the victory, first of all, of Christ coming out of the grave, and then us out of the grave. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Those are rhetorical questions. Paul already knows the answer. The answer is no. There is death. You don't have a sting anymore. You don't have a victory anymore, because Jesus conquered you. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ when He came out of the grave. We have that same hope, that same promise. That's why verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. You know why it's not in vain? Because as Jesus came out of the grave, you're going to come out of the grave. That's why we keep living the way we live. It gives meaning to our whole life. It gives meaning to why we're here this morning, and why we keep going, and why we keep living right. One day we will come out of that grave with Him. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And what it does is, on a daily basis, have you ever gone through discouraging times or difficult times or negative times or challenging times? Do you know what will help you through that? We need some sort of power. We need some sort of reassurance. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You ever thought about that? What's the power of His resurrection? Knowing that Jesus came out of the grave and that we're going to do the same, that gives us power. It's the power of His resurrection. We have the power to conquer those daily things that come up. Challenges with sin, temptations with sin, negative things, discouraging things, death of a family member, the things that get us down at school and get us down. We need the power to get through that. Paul said, I know Him and the power of His resurrection. It gives us those things that we need to make it through life. That hope. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What about our loved ones who live the Christian life and have gone on before us? What about that? Well, we can look forward to joining with them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you see? The resurrection is going to give meaning to something. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. It's going to give meaning to something. What is it? Well, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Of course, the rest of the passage says that. How we're going to be joined together in heaven. Just like Jesus died and rose again, we're going to do the same. And it gives meaning to why we keep living and being faithful and preaching the gospel faithfully and living faithfully. We've got to have some meaning for all of that, some purpose, some reason for all of that. And it's the resurrection of Jesus. What a beautiful thought. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2 now. Before the resurrection, people in general had this thought that death is the final chapter. Death is the closing chapter. And there was a fear of death. Mankind had a fear of death. When Jesus came out of the grave, it took that fear away. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Since then the children, that is mankind, are sharers in flesh and blood. He, Jesus, He also Himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death He might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all of them, and that includes us, who through fear of death were in bondage all their lifetime. We know that we're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, but we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear that when we die and our body goes to that grave, that's it. That's the final chapter. Because Jesus died and rose again, He might deliver all of them who through fear of death were all of a lifetime subject to bondage. We can be delivered from that. We can come out of that. We can be raised as He was raised. You can live again. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 6. As we come to the close of our lesson this morning, I want us to think about this matter. You need to be raised with Him this morning. You need to be baptized into Christ. You need to be raised with Him so that you can be raised with Him. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him through baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, that is, we're going to crucify the old man, leave it behind in the waters of baptism, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. You have to be raised with Him in order to be raised with Him. What I mean by that is you have to be baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life in order to have that resurrection of life in the judgment day. Just as Jesus came out of the grave on the third day, verse 5, you need to be raised from the waters of baptism in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified, we're going to put away those old habits, that old lifestyle, that those things that we used to do years ago. We're not going to do those things anymore. That the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now I want you to notice something in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Paul said, if we've died with Christ, we will live with him. Is Paul saying that we will live physically on the earth? When the people read this letter, they're saying, Paul, we're already living. Why are you telling me that we're going to live with him? We're already living. We were living before we read this letter. He's not talking about just living physically. We're going to live with him. We're going to live with him. First of all, in this life, we're going to live with him in a life of a Christian life, but we're going to live with him for eternity in heaven. When Paul says, if we died with him, we believe that we will live with him, that means spiritual life. We're thinking this morning, well, we're already living. What's the big deal? This is live with him, living again, living spiritually, being right with him. Knowing, verse 9, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once, but the life that he liveth unto God. Even so reckon you yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Now here it is, in Christ Jesus. It's living again in Christ. That's the difference. Everybody lives physically. But when you're raised with him in baptism, it's a whole new life in Christ. One last verse and the lesson is yours. Turn with me to John chapter 5. You can live again. Well, I thought I read somewhere in the Bible where everybody's going to be raised in the judgment day. Well, that's true. Well, if that's the case, what's the big deal? If we're all going to live again in the resurrection? No. Read it carefully. In John chapter 5, all are going to be raised, but there's only one resurrection of life. Heaven is life. Hell, listen carefully, is death. If we're not right with God and we're raised in the judgment day, and we all are going to be raised, all that are in the tombs are going to hear his voice. Listen, if we're not right with God, it's not going to be a resurrection of life. It's going to be, as Jesus says, a resurrection of judgment. And John says in Revelation 22, it's the second death. Living again is not just consciousness. Everybody's going to be conscious, but only certain ones are going to be able to live, and that's in heaven with God. John chapter 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice. Listen, everybody's going to be conscious. All shall come forth. Everybody's going to be present in a conscious state. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. This is the only place I know of in Scripture that this is mentioned. The resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. If you're not right with God, there's not going to be any living in the judgment day for you and me. Well, I thought we were all going to exist. We're all going to exist, but there's not going to be any living, life, spiritual life, heaven. It's going to be the second death. Torment, separation from God, the devil and his angels. If you want to live again, you have to be baptized into Christ and live faithfully, and then you will experience the resurrection of life. And you know why that came about? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thought. No, we don't engage in any unauthorized religious practice today, but we do uphold the biblical foundation and the biblical truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It gives meaning to the gospel that we preach. It gives meaning to the whole life of Jesus and where he is ruling and reigning at the right hand of God over all the earth today. And it gives meaning to our own life. That's why we're going to get up tomorrow and we're going to be a faithful Christian. And that's why we're going to go throughout the rest of this day. And we have young Christians here, and I'm encouraged by our young Christians. And that's why you're going to live your life, and you're going to talk right and act right and dress right. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus. And one day you want that same resurrection. It gives meaning. It's so important. It's so foundational. It's so key to our life. And if we can encourage you this morning to be raised with him in baptism, we want to do that. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Go down into that waters of baptism and be raised with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. Come up a new creature in Christ. And you know what? You'll have that living hope. Outside of Christ, we have no hope. Outside of Christ, we don't have that hope of a resurrection of life. Do you know what we're going to get? A resurrection of judgment, where we face the torment and the terrible wrath of God. We want, because of that resurrection of Jesus, we want that resurrection of life. And we encourage you to partake of that. And those here this morning that are living faithful Christian lives, and we have those here, older Christians who have been living faithfully all their life, you keep doing that. You have that living hope. You keep being faithful. You keep teaching the truth and living right. Because we're not pitiful fools and misguided fools. We have the truth of God's Word, and we have that hope that we can rest our life on. And we encourage you to keep living faithfully. If you're subject in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?